ಯಶೋದಾನಂದನ ವ್ರಜ ಜನ ರಂಜನ ಯಶೋದಾನಂದನ ವ್ರಜ ಜನ ರಂಜನ ಯಮುನಾತಿರಾವಣಚಾರಿ ಜಯ ರಾಧಾ ಮಾಧವ ಕುಂಜ ವಿಹಾರಿ ಗೋಪೀಜನವಲ್ಲವಾಗಿರಿವರಧಾರಿ ಯಶೋದಾನಂದನ ವ್ರಜ ಜನ ರಂಜನ ಯಶೋದಾನಂದನ ವ್ರಜ ಜನ ರಂಜನ ಯಮುನಾತಿರಾವಣಚಾರಿ ಯಮುನಾತಿರಾವಣಚಾರಿ ಜಯ ರಾಧಾ ಮಾಧವ ಕುಂಜ ವಿಹಾರಿ ಜಯ ರಾಧಾ ಮಾಧವ ಕುಂಜ ವಿಹಾರಿ ಹರೇ ಕೃಷ್ಣ 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 ಹರೆ ಹರೆ ಹರೇ ರಾಮ 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 ಹರೆ ಹರೆ ಹರೇ ಕೃಷ್ಣ 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 ಹರೆ 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 ರಾಮ 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 ಹರೆ ಹರೆ ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಹರೆ 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 ಹರೇ ಕೃಷ್ಣ 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 ಹರೆ ಹರೆ ಹರೇ ರಾಮ 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 ಹರೆ ಹರೆ ಜಯ ರಾಧಾ ವೃಂದಾವನ್ ಬಿಹಾರಿ ರಾಧಾ ವೃಂದಾವನ್ ಬಿಹಾರಿ ರಾಧಾ ವೃಂದಾವನ್ ಬಿಹಾರಿ ರಾಧಾ ವೃಂದಾವನ್ ಬಿಹಾರಿ ರಾಧಾ ವೃಂದಾವನ್ ರಾಧಾವನ್ ಬಿಹಾರಿ ರಾಧಾವನ್ ಬಿಹಾರಿ ರಾಧಾವನ್ ಬಿಹಾರಿ ರಾಧೆ ಗೌರಾಂಗ್ನಿತಾಯ ಶ್ರೀ ಶ್ರೀ ಗೌರಾಂಗ್ನಿತಾಯ ಗೌರಾಂಗ್ನಿತಾಯ ಶ್ರೀ ಶ್ರೀ ಗೌರಾಂಗ್ನಿತಾಯ ಜಯ ಪ್ರಭು ಪದ ಜಯ ಪ್ರಭು ಪದ ಪ್ರಭು ಪದ ಶೀಲ ಪ್ರಭು ಪದ ಜಯ ಜಯ ಗುರುದೇವ್ 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 ಜಯ ಶೀಲ ಗುರುದೇವ್ కలియుగ పావన హరినామ సంకీర్తనకి గ్రంథరాశ్రీమద్ భాగవతంకి అనంత కోటి వైష్ణవ వృందకి తాయ్ గౌర్ ప్రేమానంద. ఓం అజ్ఞానతమిరాంధస్యజ్ఞానాంజనశలాకయా చక్షుః ఉన్మీలితం యేన తస్మై శ్రీగురవే నమః. శ్రీచైతన్యమనోభీష్టం స్థాపితం యేన భూతలే స్వయం రూపకదా మహ్యం దదాతి స్వపదాంతికం. వందేహం శ్రీగురోః శ్రీయుతపదకమలం శ్రీగురూన్ వైష్ణవాంశ్చ శ్రీరూపం సాగ్రజాతం సహగణరఘునాథాన్వితం తం సజీవం సాద్వైతం సఅవధూతం పరిజనాసహితం కృష్ణచైతన్యదేవం శ్రీరాధాకృష్ణపాదాన్ సహగణలలితా శ్రీవిశాఖాన్వితాంశ్చ. నమా ఓం విష్ణుపాదాయ కృష్ణప్రేష్టాయ భూతలే శ్రీమతే భక్తివేదాంతస్వామిన్ ఇతి నామినే. నమస్తే సారస్వతే దేవే గౌరవాణీ ప్రచారిణే నిర్విశేషశూన్యవాది పాశ్చాత్యదేశతారిణే. నమో మహావదన్యాయ కృష్ణ ప్రేమ ప్రదాయతే కృష్ణాయ కృష్ణ చైతన్యనామ్నే గౌరత్విషే నమః. హే కృష్ణ కరుణా సింధో దీనబంధో జగత్పతే గోపేశ గోపికాకాంత రాధాకాంత నమోస్తుతే. తప్తకాంచన గౌరాంగి రాధే వృందావనేశ్వరి వృషభానుసుతే దేవి ప్రణమామి హరిప్రియే. వాంఛాకల్పతరుభ్యశ్చ కృపాసింధుభ్య ఏవ చ పతితానాం పావనేభ్యో వైష్ణవేభ్యో నమో నమః. జయ శ్రీ కృష్ణ చైతన్య ప్రభు నిత్యానంద శ్రీ అద్వైత గదాధర శ్రీవాసాది గౌరభక్తవృంద. హరే కృష్ణ 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 హరే హరే, హరే రామ 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 హరే హరే. ఓం నమో భగవతే వాసుదేవాయ. ఓం నమో భగవతే వాసుదేవాయ. ఓం నమో భగవతే వాసుదేవాయ. నారాయణం నమస్కృత్య నరం చైవ నరోత్తమం దేవీం సరస్వతీం వ్యాసం తతో జయముదీరయే. నష్టప్రాయేష్వ భద్రేషు నిత్యం భాగవత సేవయా. భగవత్యుత్తమ శ్లోకే భక్తిర్ భవతి నైష్ఠికి. కృష్ణాయ వాసుదేవాయ దేవకీ నందనాయ చ నందగోపకుమారాయ గోవిందాయ నమో నమః. రీడింగ్ ఫ్రమ్ శ్రీమద్ భాగవతం థర్డ్ క్యాంటో 14 చాప్టర్ టెక్స్ట్ నంబర్ 35. నమో రుద్రాయ మహతే దేవాయోగ్రాయ మీడుషే శివాయ న్యస్తదండాయ ధృతదండాయ మన్యవే. నమో రుద్రాయ మహతే దేవాయోగ్రాయ మీఢుషే శివాయ న్యస్తదండాయ ధృతదండాయ మన్యవే. నమో రుద్రాయ మహతే దేవాయోగ్రాయ మీఢుషే శివాయ న్యస్తదండాయ ధృతదండాయ మన్యవే. న్యస్తదండాయ ధృతదండాయ మన్యవే. నమో రుద్రాయ మహతే దేవాయోగ్రాయ నమో రుద్రాయ మహతే దేవాయోగ్రాయ మీడుషే శివాయ నస్తదండాయ ధృతదండాయ మన్య వైష్ణవీస్ నమో రుద్రాయ మహతే దేవాయోగ్రాయ మీడుషే శివాయ నస్తదండాయ ధృతదండాయ మన్య నమః. All obeisances unto Rudraya and to the angry Lord Shiva, Mahate and to the great, Devaya and to the demigod, Ugraya and to the ferocious, Meedhushe and to the fulfiller of all material desires, Shivaya and to the all auspicious, Nyastadandaya and to the forgiving, Dhritadandaya and to the immediate chastiser, Manyave and to the angry. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ki, let me offer my obeisances unto the angry Lord Shiva, who is simultaneously the very ferocious great demigod and the fulfiller of all material desires. He is the all auspicious and forgiving, but his anger can immediately move him to chastise. Purport: Diti prayed for the mercy of Lord Shiva very cleverly. She prayed, the Lord can cause me to cry, but if he likes, he can also stop my crying, because he is Ashutosh. He is so great that if he likes, he can immediately destroy my pregnancy. But by his mercy, he can also fulfill my desire that my pregnancy not be spoiled. Because he is all auspicious, it is not difficult for him to excuse me from being punished. Although he is now ready to punish me because I have moved his great anger. He appears like a man, but he is the Lord of all men. Diti, after committing the mistake, is very regretful. And this is very common in this world. It is very commonly observed that people, prior to the committing of a sin, there is always a great urge from within for committing the act, without contemplating on the consequences of the act. But after committing the act, then there is a repentance and there is a remorse. There is a fear of punishment. The aftermath, the consequences which are horrible consequences, which one is afraid to face. So very funny material world in which we live in, where before committing an act, people go headlong, like we say, Vinash Kale, Viparita Buddhi. People go headlong in the direction of wrong action. But they also want to do wrong, and they don't want the consequences also. So, generally, the scriptures, when they talk about various principles, they bring the psychology of human nature in this world very graphically through various histories, Puranic histories, so that in our personal spiritual life, we will be able to learn some valuable lessons and not have to go through the same difficult circumstances that the Shastric characters have gone through. So, in her prayer she is telling, Namo Rudraya Mahate. Oh, the great Lord Rudra. Oh, Deva, who is Ugraya Meedushe. Meedushe means one who fulfills material desires.
you are Ugraya, you are very angry. So she's talking about contradicting qualities in Lord Shiva. A great Vaishnava also has two contradicting qualities. It is said, Kusumadapi Komalam, but Vajradapi Kathoram. One of the qualities of Vaishnava is, he is generally Kusumadapi Komalam. He is as soft as a flower. And people remember those exchanges with the Vaishnava very fondly, which are like a tender flower. But the other side of a Vaishnava is, he is also as hard as a thunderbolt. You will see, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when he was going for South India preaching, the Vaishnavas were not ready to allow him. They gave some excuses to hold him back. You know, Dola Yatra is coming, Rata Yatra is coming, Vasant Panchami is coming. They were holding back. And he also was seeking blessings and permission from the Vaishnavas. It wasn't happening. At one point of time, Mahaprabhu made up his mind to anyway go. So early morning he got up, like 3 o'clock. Very early morning, even before Brahma Muhurt, he got up. And then he left the Vaishnavas. He had told Swarup Damodar that when the Vaishnavas get up, they are going to cry. And they will be searching for me. And you should not allow them to follow me anymore. So when next morning when Vaishnavas got up, they were searching for, where is Mahaprabhu? Mahaprabhu was gone already. So they were very broken-hearted. And they said, we are also going to follow his path. And they were not allowed to go. So, same way, Sarvam Bhattacharya, Mahaprabhu went to his house, offered him obeisances and told about his yatra to south. And Bhattacharya very much protested. He was not willing to allow him to go in the beginning. But then later on, you will hear there's a verse which says, Mahaprabhu just left that place and Bhattacharya fell unconscious to the ground. Same way, Gadadhar Pandit also fell unconscious to the ground. So, in that place it is mentioned, Vajradapi Kathoram, how a Vaishnava cannot compromise on his mission. So he was very strong in such circumstances and did not want to be trapped by the love of the devotees, which he felt to be a comfort zone. He wanted to go out of the comfort zone. So, on the other hand, you will find Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's Kusumadavi Komalam nature. Although he intended to go to Vrindavan, when he took off from Gadadhar Pandit, he insisted Gadadhar Pandit stay back in Jagannath Puri for he had taken Kshetra Sannyas. Mahaprabhu left him in a boat, left him in the shore, and he aborted a boat and went away. But he could not go to Vrindavan. He took a detour, went to Ramkeli, and then he came back. Sanatana advised him not to go with a huge crowd of people. So Mahaprabhu came back. And then he told Gadadhar Pandit, probably I could not get entry into Vrindavan because of breaking your heart when I was leaving. Like that he said, which goes to show his Kusumadapi Komalam nature, soft nature. So, Vaishnava has both sides. Here, she is talking about Lord Shiva. Also, Prabhupada says she is praying for the mercy of Shiva very cleverly, she is telling. You see, amongst the mundane people, anger or aggression is considered a sign of greatness. People often, when people think might is right, I can get things my way, and I can push through anybody, I can blow off anybody, and I can get my work done. Nobody can stand my way. So this is considered a heroic quality. And that is why modern man is so foolish. He even thinks, I am not a sentimental person who goes to temple and all. I think at my own feet and I stand on my own leg. I am a self-made man. Many people talk like that, as if, people who are worshipping God are fools. So, in the modern times, the anger, rage, aggression, might is right. This is considered a sign of power. Of course, this is certainly power, but it is a rajoguna power. That's a mundane power, which will not long last. And if you, some people keep names also in such a manner that they like to be praised as those who are famous for being angry also. Just like Asuravariya Dehinam, he calls Prahlad Maharaj. Oh, the king of the demons. And that is considered a very great respectful address for Hiranyakashipu, king of the demons. So people also keep such names nowadays. They keep villains' names to show that they are very powerful, very mighty, and things like that. So here she is addressing, you are Manyave, you are Rudraya, you are Ugraya, you are very great. But actually, people many times may try to praise the demigods in order to win their heart so that they can achieve what they want. That you find even with Hiranyakashipu praising Lord Brahma, as if Brahma is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. That kind of praise he does. This can be seen in this world very easily. Like somebody comes to you and says, you are a president of a temple, can you please arrange for an engineering seat for my son in that college? So many phone calls come to me. People ask. Then I tell them that, you see, I know the director of the college. That doesn't mean, I can ask for a favor. It doesn't look good. You put the boy's application, if you on merit, if they give, accept it. They said, that we can also do, we don't have to come to you. That we know it. But you are a president of a temple and that college principal director, he comes to temple and we heard that he takes advice from you many times. One of your advice can be a seat for our son also. People ask like, so I openly tell them, I am a sadhu, monk. A monk cannot go for material favors like this. It's not proper to ask. They say, aap kya nahi kar sakte, Swami ji? Aap itne bade sabhi ka guchha aapke haath mein hai. All control, all people are in your hands. You tell them, they will dance according to your tune. So they give a boost. So they give a boost to our false ego. And then we may also think, oh, really? So I never knew I have so much power. That is what they want. And this is what happens with demigods also. Sometimes the demigod worshippers give such a boost of false ego that demigods sometimes end up sanctioning something which is beyond their jurisdiction. Like Brahma did it with Hiranyakashipu. Later on, Lord Narasimha was scolding Brahma in one shloka that you went beyond your limit. You cannot sanction what is not in your jurisdiction, you see. Sometimes giving promise is very easy. Somebody is a subordinate, he doesn't have a superior. Their superior has gone out. So some people may pamper the subordinate fellow in such a way that they will get something sanctioned and signed and take it away. When superior comes, he will get a chastisement, isn't it? So similarly, she is trying to, please Shiva by telling him, oh, what kind of great person you are. You are Ugraya. When you show anger, all the worlds will tremble. Nobody can stand in front of you. You are like this, you are like that. She is just praising him. The whole idea of praising a person is to get something done from that person, isn't it? At the same time, she is also mindful of her agenda also. Midushe, she is telling. You are a fulfiller of material desires. Because she wants her child to be protected. She doesn't want the pregnancy to be destroyed. So she wants, she's telling that, I am not demanding something that is not sanctionable. You are famous for fulfilling the material desires of so many people who have come to you. And many, many great demons have come to Shiva and fulfill their desires. So you are a fulfiller of desires of so many. Why not you include me also in that list? And fulfill my desire also to have a child. And if you allow my child to be protected, then my child will be protected. This is another thing. Which means, you have the power to destroy my womb, or you have the power to protect my womb. I am at your mercy. See, if somebody falls at someone's feet like this, it is very difficult to refuse that person. So, in this way, she is presenting herself very intelligently by talking about the qualities of Shiva. Actually, Lord Shiva, you will see, he is actually the in charge for annihilation, destruction of the whole universe. And his master is Sankarshan, who also emanates fire and he destroys. So that is why Lord Sankarshan, of course Lord Sankarshan is untouched by matter. But when Lord Sankarshan wants to destroy, he evokes Kalagni Rudra, by which he destroys the universe. Just like sometimes you want to paint a wall, but you don't want to get your dress tainted with the colors. So you may wear some kind of gloves or something, and then you may paint. And afterwards, when you remove the gloves, your hands are intact. Similarly, Prabhupada says, when Narayana touches matter, he becomes Shiva. When Narayana doesn't touch matter, he remains Vishnu. By the Prabhupada says. So, Lord Sankarshan is in Vishuddha Sattva platform. But he does the destruction, which is actually a tamaguni activity, through the agency of Shiva. Through the Kalagni Rudra, he does that. So, Lord Shiva has a third eye, which gently he doesn't open, it's closed. But when he becomes angry, he'll open the third eye. He can burn down somebody if he's very angry, just like when he was angry with Kamadev, who mischievously tried to tempt Shiva. So, then Shiva became angry and he opened the third eye and Kamadev was burned to ashes. So, he is famous for his anger like this. His anger for burning Kamadeva, his anger in destroying the universe. But why does Lord Sankarshan feel angry in the very first place? The reason is given in the Srimad Bhagavatam that when the living entities are very unruly, when they are very materially attached, when they are completely whimsical, they have become paragatma. Pratyakatma means those who see the Lord. Parag is for those who turn away from the Lord. So when they turn away from the Lord and run in the opposite direction with the desires to gratify their senses, they pay no attention to the scriptures, no attention to saintly persons, no attention to rules and regulations and prohibitions. And when they are determined to become mischievous enjoyers, then Lord Sankarshan feels that these living entities, these are not going to reform. So then he becomes very angry that the living entities have left their ultimate master, eternal master, and foolishly trying for enjoyment here and there. He becomes very angry and then he causes the annihilation, after which again the Satyayuga is created afterwards again. So in this way, the anger also is a meaningful anger, a justified anger of Lord Sankarshan, and then Lord Shiva is assisting in such an activity. But at the same time, Lord Shiva also, as he is called as a Parama Vaishnava, he gives himself utterly by preaching to the conditioned souls who are even in the form of ghosts and spirits. You see, in the evening time, Lord Shiva is boarding the bull carrier. He is moving about carrying the ghosts and spirits with him. And he promises them, I will give you a human body, where you can become a wonderful devotee. You have a chance to become a devotee. But then he puts the ghosts and spirits in those wombs of sinful people who are uniting in the twilight time. See, for the ghost, it is an advantage to get a human body. But for those who are uniting in the twilight time, it is a punishment for them, because they are going to get ghost as a child. Somebody who is very disturbed. So they may get children who may create trouble like ghosts. They may get. Sometimes parents tell the sons, all our sins, what we did in the past, have taken the form of our children. Like that some parents say. Because some parents on weekends, especially Saturday, Sunday, they make such a lagula at home. They make such a noise and such a fight. Some children, they have this tick, 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 tick with their hand they make, And they'll keep, and the grandmother will be shouting, "Are Shanti, Shanti, thoda, allow me to rest for some time." And he will do more, tick, 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 even more. Let me see how you sleep now. Isn't it? So, parents and grandparents sometimes become very disturbed, because the ghosts, when they take the human bodies, their ghostly nature is still there. They create trouble, even after. So, in those families where the ghosts are given, the parents and relatives are in trouble. But for the ghosts, it's a plus point. It's an advantage for them. So in that sense, we can say Shiva is merciful to the ghost and he gives punishment to the sinful. So that is the two opposite quality. Both he is doing, isn't it? So He is very merciful. To understand how Shiva is merciful, it is very easy for us to appreciate this if you understand how merciful Prabhupada was towards the hippies when he went to the West. Because you will find they practically had no culture. They were like when Prabhupada would give a class, they would bring their dogs and cats into the class, and they would be wearing stinking jackets. Some of them would come with stinking socks. Some of them would be drugged completely. And Prabhupada was several times troubled during the middle of the class. Somebody will get up and say, "Give me the mic, I want to speak." One boy shouted. And Prabhupada said, "Don't disturb, sit down. After the class you can speak." Then after 2-3 minutes again he will get up. Again he will say, "No, I want to say something in the mic." So then Prabhupada would take the kartal and just do the kirtan for 10-15 minutes to make a peaceful situation. One time a hippie demanding the mic, he came to the stage and he dragged the mic from Prabhupada and he was just blabbering, blah, 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 something with no meaning at all. And Prabhupada again told the devotees to get the mic, and then he did kirtan for some time. Then he wanted to pacify the hippie. He looked into his eyes and that fellow was staring at Prabhupada. And Prabhupada took an apple and he cut it into several pieces and he showed him the apple and the knife. And all devotees were afraid. What if he takes the knife and does something dangerous? Fortunately, he picked up the apple. And Prabhupada thought, let him eat the apple and keep quiet. Let him take some prasad and keep quiet. So, one hippie used to come to meet Prabhupada called the rabbit. This fellow had hair from the top of the head up to the ground, touching the ground. Completely matted hair. His whole body would be covered with sand, like a bum. Completely dirty. God knows how many months before he took bath. So these kind of people would come to argue with Prabhupada, to fight with Prabhupada. So Prabhupada actually had faith that there is some spark of Krishna consciousness in them. So he patiently wanted to administer Krishna consciousness to them. One time Prabhupada was sitting in asana like this. One lady was sitting in the front, a fat lady. She said, "Are you going to speak sitting there? Why are you sitting above?" Like that she was shouting. And Prabhupada softly said, "Darkest of dark ignorance." And he was selling. So she was a lady in mode of ignorance. She was envious of Prabhupada. Yeah, actually many people are envious of Prabhupada. Sometimes one staff reporter asked Prabhupada, "Swamiji, why everybody is sitting down? You have to sit up." Next time the same staff reporter came, Prabhupada also sat down with everybody. And the reporter asked, "Swamiji, why this time you are not sitting up?" Prabhupada said, "You will be envious of me, so I am also sitting down." Prabhupada said. Another fellow asked Prabhupada, "Swamiji, why on either side two people are doing this chamar? Why are they doing it?" Prabhupada said, "It's summer season, very hot, so they are doing." He said, "That's all he gave the reason." Of course, he understood why he is asking. Every question is loaded question, loaded with envy. So, Prabhupada tolerated all these people in preaching Krishna consciousness, living in the midst of them. And because they were very weird and whimsical, one time Prabhupada went to a temple and he was about to offer obeisances and the altar opened, there was no deities inside. Jagannath Bhadra Subhadra. Prabhupada asked, "Where are the deities?" Devotees said that Prabhupada, they have gone and taken them for a walk to the in a park. They said they had taken that. Prabhupada said, "Only once in a year you can take them out on Ratayatra day. All other days the deities cannot be moved. They have to be permanently here." So what you understand is they would do things without asking many times. So that's called whimsical behavior, we say. The whimsical behavior, material attachments, and envy and anger. And so these tendencies in the conditioned souls make them more and more uncontrolled. Very difficult. And the ghosts and spirits, they are the most uncontrolled. And Lord Shiva also lives in the midst of them, putting smashan, taking and putting all the basma all over his body. He also is a jatadari. And you will see in this, Chitraketu will say about Lord Shiva. Jatadharas Tivratapa Brahmavadi Sabhapatihi. Like that he is saying. So Jatadhara means the Lord one who keeps Jata. Jata means the matted hair. Tivratapa, he performs severe penances. And he is the Sabhapati, he is the leader of all the great realized souls. He is calling him as a Loka Guru. He is the Guru of the entire universe. So another name of Lord Shiva is Charachara Guru. Charachara Guru also means Guru of the universe. Loka Guru Sakshat. And Dharmam Vakta. So he is saying he always gives sermons and speeches in glorification of the Lord and Dharma. So in this way, he is glorifying in the another fourth chapter, fourth canto, second chapter, second verse also, there is a beautiful verse about Lord Shiva's qualities. Many of the... this is the one. Kastam. Of course, before the second verse, first verse itself says one very important word. Vidura is telling, Bhave Shilavatam Sreshthe Daksho Duhitra Vatsalaha. He is calling Shiva as a Shilavatam Sreshta, which means Shilavatam, Shesra Prabhupada explains here, he is the best of the gentle. He is telling Lord Shiva is the best among the gentle. Shilavatam Sreshta. In the next verse, also some more qualities are mentioned. He is asking, Kastam Charajara Gurum Nirvairam Shanta Vigraham Atmaramam Katam Dveshti Jagato Daivatam Mahat. How Lord Shiva, who is called as a Charachara Guru, Guru of the universe, Nirvairam, one who is free from envy towards any living beings, Shanta Vigraham, one who is always a peaceful personality, Atmaramam, satisfied in himself, Jagato Daivatam Mahat, one who is the greatest amongst all these demigods, different devatas of this universe. Like that is telling. Now, how can a Vaishnava be like this, that he does not feel any anger or envy towards the conditioned souls who are mischievous? Generally, we may not feel anger towards somebody who is righteous and occasionally may slip from that righteous position due to some inattention or carelessness or something. But if some living entity is jaan bujhkar paap karna visena, is mischievous by nature and cunning by nature and envious, just like for example in Shiva's case, Daksha, Daksha Prajapati, the way he behaved towards Shiva was so blasphemous. So how can Shiva be nirvairam, without envy? You will see in the Bhagavatam it is explained that Parama Vaishnava means he feels sympathy for the other living entities by understanding that living entities do commit mistakes in the face of insurmountable illusory energy. The Maya Shakti is so powerful that the conditioned souls fall prey to Maya. They are unable to. So they become conducted by the three modes, especially the lower modes, Rajoguna and Tamaguna. And they become knocked down by Rajoguna and Tamaguna. And that is why they behave like that. For example, in Tamaguna, somebody may be insecure. If one Vaishnava is very shining in his Krishna conscious life, if another devotee who has insecurity is unable to tolerate it, they become fearful. Gauravan Maharaj says they become fearful. He's so powerful or something. So then they may, out of insecurity, they may blaspheme or find faults and do like that. That is tamaguna. Tamaguna means due to insecurity, people pull the leg or find fault like that. In rajoguna, one may compete. One may try to climb over the head of that fellow. So these kind of things the living entities do. Just like Daksha Prajapati, his blasphemy of Shiva is completely baseless. He's simply out of envy. Although he claimed it was not out of envy. It was spoken out of envy. One can see that. So how can Lord Shiva forgive it? Because he sees that the living entities are all pure, but they are vulnerable in this material world. They become overpowered by the illusory energy. That's one reason he is forgiving. Another reason, he sees Lord Vasudeva in the heart of everyone. As soon as he sees the living entity, he can never see living entities alone. He sees that they are accompanied by Lord Vasudeva in their hearts. So the moment he thinks of Lord Vasudeva, Lord Krishna, immediately he gets sadbhavana, immediately. There is no ill feeling towards any living entity. He sees all of them as part and parcel of Vishnu. Just like if you see a small boy in the road walking with his father, and even if the boy has committed mistake, you can report to the father. See, your son is taking the chappal and keeping this chappal there, that chappal here is, or he is throwing away the chappal here and there. So you can report to the father, correct, no? Imagine you catch that boy and give him a tight slap. Then father will give you another slap. Isn't it? So those great persons who see that, you know, all jivas are accompanied by their super souls, who is also giving matta smritir jnanam apohanam cha. Correct, no? He is giving smriti jnanam apohanam. So even the forgetfulness of the living entity is also sanctioned by the super soul, supplied by the super soul. So there is, then one doesn't feel any problem. Just like the Avadhut Brahmana said, different living entities are of different mentalities. I do not interfere with their free will. And I only pray that they align their free will with the super soul. So three things he said. Different living entities are of different mentalities, so I don't interfere with them, he said. Secondly, he said that they are accompanied, they have their free will, and they are also guided by the super soul. And finally, he says, I only pray that they align with super soul. That's all. I am not there, posted above them to find fault with them and rectify them. So Shiva is also like that. Shiva is doing his own bhajan peacefully. He doesn't interfere with any living entity. And if he does interfere, that is for giving Krishna consciousness to them and bring them to Lord's lotus feet. So that, just like he does in the case of ghosts and spirits. So in that sense, Lord Shiva is Shiva has a dual role. For those like Prachetas, he becomes a Charachara Gurum. Priyasya Sakhiyo Kshana Sangamena, they are saying, you are a very intimate friend of the Supreme Lord. You are also Charachara Gurum. You are the Guru of the universe. And we are very fortunate to have encountered you on our path to the jungle. And then he is giving them knowledge about the Supreme Lord Vishnu. And he is teaching them Shuddha Bhakti. Even all of us, we have a dual role also, if you see. Sometimes when you're dealing with devotees, we may talk devotional things. And to the degree you deal with completely karmis or non-devotees who cannot understand anything of devotion service, then you may speak something what will fit them, what will be relevant to them. Correct, no? So Lord Shiva also understands these are Vaishnavas, Prachetas. And when he encounters non-devotees, he deals with them differently as a demigod, you know, bestowing benedictions to them. So although Diti here is praising Shiva, you are this, you are that, and so many things. Shiva knows her agenda, why is she praising? He is very much aware what is her purpose, what is her intention. The Shastras, they say that there are three types of karmas. Vihita karma, Kamya karma, and Nishiddha karma. So Vihita karma is a prescribed duty, and Kamya karma is pleasurable duty. Nishiddha karma is prohibited duty. For example, a king is marrying a princess. So that is vihita karma. Everybody should marry. All the kings would marry and rule the kingdom. And kamya karma means a king may want to marry more wives in order to expand his kingdom, or in order to beget children, he may marry more wives. That's kamya karma. But a king going to a prostitute, that is nishiddha karma. So the Shastras clearly say that nishiddha karma should be avoided altogether. That is not acceptable. And that is why the kamya karma is also prescribed. The kamya karma is actually pleasurable activities which are in grey zone, which are not prohibited in the religion, but which some living entities may do. They may be allowed. It is not considered prohibited. So in the case of Diti, uniting with a husband and begetting a child is very natural for any woman. But she did a prohibited act by uniting in the evening time, in the twilight time. And that is why she was deserving a punishment. So, in the Bhagavad Gita also, you will see Lord Krishna, Prabhupada quotes those two verses. Tanaham vishata kruran samsareshu naradhaman kshipami ajasram mashubhan asureshu yevayonishu asurim yoni mapanna mudha janmani janmani mam apraapyaiva kaunteya tato yanti adhamam gatim. Like that Krishna is telling. He's saying, those who are cruel to their own souls, they ignore Krishna consciousness and they torture their bodies and souls by breaking all the regulative principles and foolishly wandering here and there, becoming atheistic and blasphemous. So he says, Tanaham dushatah kruran. For such envious people, what I do? They are Naradama fellows, most fallen amongst humans. So, Kshipami, I cast them into lower and lower bodies, like a dog, a cat, rat, a cockroach, amoeba, like that. Lower and lower bodies, or plant's body, like that. And birth after birth, they keep going further and further down. They suffer. So when anybody reads these verses, they may get frightened. My Lord, you know, I've heard Krishna is very merciful. But why Krishna seems to be so cruel? This is one side of Krishna. Other side of Krishna, you will see, those who accept the religious principles, even if they slip from the purest pure standards, Krishna says, Nahi kalyanakrit kaschit durgatim tata gachati. If you are a kalyanakrit means auspicious actor. You are trying to become Krishna conscious. On the way you slip and then you stumble, Krishna says, I forgive such devotees. And then, Api chet sudaracharo bhajate mam ananya bhak. He says, no? Sadure vasamantavyah. You should consider him a sadhu. If somebody slips and falls, and then a devotee repents for his slipping, again he gets up and walks. So Krishna is willing to forgive. So you can draw a chart, you know, the ordinate with positive axis and negative axis. You can put some shlokas on the positive side. You will see. Like, Nahi kalyana krit kaschit, you will put on the positive side. You can also put this verse, Neha bhikrama nashosti salpam apyasa dharmasya, you can put that. Similarly, Dadami buddhi yogam tam, you can put Teshami vanam kam partham aham ajnanatam nashyami atma bhavastu jnana deepena basuta, you can put on the positive side. How I help my devotees to come back to me. Yoga kshemam vahamyaham. So these are all positive verses where Krishna proclaims how he helps his devotees to return back to him. How he personally pays attention. If somebody does Tesham Satati Yuktanam Vajdam Priti Purvakam, I give them the buddhi, also he says. I don't give buddhi to everybody. For non-devotees, I don't give the buddhi. But for devotees, I give sadbuddhi to come back to me, he says. And sometimes if my devotee becomes proud, I pull his leg also. I give a little punishment also so that he will come back to me. So it's like a mother slapping a child. I do all this to get my devotees back. On the other hand, Krishna wants... Eme matamidam nityam anutishtanti manavaha shraddhavanto anasuyanto muchyante tevi karma bihi e tvadabhyasuyanto. That is the next verse. See, one verse is positive verse. Eme matamidam nityam anutishtanti. Those who follow my instructions, good instructions, you know, they will become Krishna conscious, they will come back to me, he says. E tvadabhyasuyanto nanutishtanti me matam sarva jnana vimudhamstan vidyanashtan Achetasaha is telling. Achetasaha means un-Krishna conscious. He says, Ye tvadabhya suyanto, out of envy for me, nanu tishtanti me matam, those who do not follow the path I have given, sarva jnana vimudhamstan, he becomes a fool number one. Vidyanashtan, he loses all good intelligence and he becomes a fool and he suffers. So this type of verses could be put on the other side of the chart, you can put. Similarly, Tanaham Dushita Kururan. Krishna gives warnings in Bhagavad Gita. And similarly, Namaham Dushkritano Mudha, Prapadyante Naradhama. That type of verse. Mohgasha, Mohga Karmana, Mohga Jnana, Vichetasaha, Rakshasi, Masurim Chaiva, Prakriti, Mohinim Chaitaha. So you can put multiple verses there. And you will find that there is almost a good balance between the two. There are positive verses where we can make the right choice and go back to Krishna. And we can make wrong choices and come to the lower side. And get kicks also, not from Krishna but from Maya. For giving kicks, Krishna gives kicks only to his devotees. And And those who are not his devotee, of course Krishna may kick his devotee to purify his devotee sometimes. But if somebody is not his devotee, he hands over to the other agency, Maya. You deal with this fellow. He is not interested in me, so I have nothing to do with him. So you deal with this fellow. Then Maya deals with those people. Like that. And that is why Prabhupada says, Aham Bija Pradaha Pita is Lord Shiva, Prabhupada says, in one of his lectures. It is not Krishna. Because Krishna doesn't give us a material body. The soul is a part and parcel of Krishna. The material body is a part and parcel of Shiva. Because Shiva and Parvati are in charge of the material energy, material nature. The material energy is personified by Durga Devi, and her husband is Lord Shiva, who is Kala. By the glands, through the Shambhu principle only, Lord arranges for our material bodies. So that is why Shiva and Parvati are predominating in this world. And Shiva gives material benefits because his wife only is material energy. And he also gives punishments also in the form of destruction, annihilation. So in this way, in the path of spiritual life, when one somehow or other, knowingly, unknowingly, commits a blunder, mistake, in case a mistake is committed, one should seek forgiveness through repentance. Like here you find she is offering a prayer in repentance. This is a repentant mood after committing. See, the repentance in Hindi is called as paschatap. Paschat means after. Tap means heat. So what is that heat that comes afterwards? When you cry hot tears continuously, alas, alas, I should not have done it. Why did I do it? How did I do it? What a fool I was. How was I carried away by Maya? Why did I not act in a Krishna conscious way? I wish I didn't do it. I wish it had not happened. Somehow it has happened. And I will never allow it to happen in future. These are the feelings of a person who is repenting. Paschatap. The hot tears of remorse and repentance which are shed by a person whose heart is genuinely softened, and one who is feeling lamentation, one who is regretting for his faults. And so actually it is said, by those hot tears of repentance, all the sinful reactions are washed away. If one cries genuine tears of repentance, just like Ajamila cried. Ajamila said, alas, what a fool I was. I don't know where are my mother and father now. I cast them away in their old age, and my chaste wife, who was so loyal to me, just because I wanted to bring the prostitute into my house, I threw my chaste wife also away. Which hell will I go for doing such actions like this? So he lamented actually over the past things which he had done. He felt very, very bad. So one should feel very bad about the wrong act. So when one feels very bad and one is remorseful and one pledges that I will never commit it again with genuine tears of repentance, then one is forgiven. Just like Parikshit Maharaj, Prabhupada says, repentance comes in the heart of a good soul, Prabhupada says. Good soul means devotee. So because he's a devotee, he thought that, that sage was doing meditation, I put dead snake around his neck. So Parikshit, even before returning home, returning to palace, on the way only he was telling, may some Brahma shap come upon me. Let me lose all my opulences. Let my family members not suffer. He was like fully responsible, willing to take. You see, the most important thing for a devotee is not the pain that comes from the punishment. Generally, people want to escape from the pain. Oh, please, please don't punish. Like in our school days, we used to see the teacher would beat, with a stick. Who all didn't do homework, come one by one. So people would go one by one, they would show the hand. And then teacher would beat it. They would move their hand. Again, show that hand. This hand. You've seen that? The people would do that. And there will be some boys hiding and not showing their head, but they would not have brought the notebook. That teacher will come to know after going around the class. And she'll catch them by the ear and bring them. They will get special beating like this. You have to keep like this for that. And then they would be. So sometimes children, when others are getting punishment, they may laugh. But when their turn comes, they'll be crying. You will see that, isn't it? So generally people try to escape punishment because it is painful. Not only painful for the body, it's also a shame, no, in front of so many others. Because people don't want to cut a sorry figure in front of others. So people try to escape punishment. But pure devotees of the Lord are not fearful of the pain arising from the punishment. If you see, Kumaras, when they were cursing Jayavijay said, we are not afraid of the great pain that we have to endure due to this curse. But we are only worried that even for a split moment, we should not forget the Supreme Lord. Because that is the greatest curse. It is far more painful than being in hell for millions of years also. So they were praying that let us not forget the Lord even for a moment. So this was actually their prayer to Kumaras. We also, when we repent, our repentance should be of a quality that, my dear Lord, I am so careless with Maya. I am having unnecessary idle curiosity while dealing with Maya. And it seems to me that my old tendencies are not gone. They are coming to surface on and off like a fox coming out of the hole, peeping outside and going in. Due to only local lajja and fear of public opinion, you know, one may not fall prey to sinful activities. But if one observes even the impure propensities coming to the surface, one should be very repentant. Alas, after hearing so much, that's why the 10th offense when people recite, they will say, so many instructions, they will say, wherever you go in ISKCON, all over the world. You have seen that, what they say, what is that 10th offense? To maintain metal attachments, even after hearing so many instructions. Kitne baar sun liya, kitne baar sun liya. Kuch parivartan aaya nahi. Hari hari vifale janam gavainu. See, Bhaktivinoda Thakur is telling that if a preacher of Krishna consciousness cannot evoke repentance in the hearts of those to whom he is preaching, you know, he is useless. He is very strongly speaking. He has written one article called Pancha Sanskar. In that article he is telling, I was thinking, forget about invoking repentance in others. First, I have to feel repentant. Only if I feel repentant, I can invoke repentance in the hearts of others also. So he is telling, why should a devotee feel repentant? Krishna's mercy is coming in so many ways, but we are not taking full advantage of it. We are so careless with Maya, casual with Maya, and because of which our consciousness is polluted, it is not yet purified fully. And we are not able to derive the full nourishment and spiritual benefit of what is being awarded to us. So we think everything is quite well. I am all right. You know, I might have to repent probably in my early years when I committed some mistake. Now I don't commit any mistakes. We think like that. So we feel very potent, powerful and quite all right. So this type of consciousness itself is a disease. So when a devotee is cultivating consciousness in this way, with a proper mood of repentance, great souls find fault in themselves even for the small deviations. Like you see this Surdas, he says, Morsama kaun kutila kalakhami, he says. Who is there in this world? Morsama kaun kutila kalakhami. He says, who is there in this world like me, who is very political, one who is having hatred for other living entities, and one who is always materially attached and lusty, rogue. Who is there in this world like me? So why he is saying like this? Because great devotees, even if their consciousness deviates from Krishna's lotus feet, even for a moment, they consider it a great fall down. For them, they don't have to actually fall down. Their mental fall down also, they will consider it a great deviation. Just like Madhavendra Puri is thinking, how can I desire to eat the bhog and that is supposed to be offered to Lord? It's a great sin. So he felt like that. He considered it to be a very great sin. So great souls, they feel like that. So they cannot, like for example, one Swami, one Maharaj, And the doctor had told him that he has to eat some prasad and take medicine before noon, you know, on that day. But noon, it was fasting till noon. It was on this thing. So he was feeling so bad that, you know, I'm not able to fast till noon. Because of this medicine, I have to eat something and take the medicine. So great souls, you will find, to do small deviations also, they worry very much. They cannot take it. So that is a very good attitude, actually. Very good consciousness. And a person having a repentant consciousness can very easily attract the attention of the Lord. When Lord's attention comes on us, His glance comes on us, we become purified very fast. Heart becomes cleaned up. When the heart is cleaned up, then one can experience spiritual sweetness very easily. But if we keep our hearts hard and unrepentant and with no remorse for our wrong actions and wrong thoughts and wrong feelings, we don't feel repentant, then we don't much benefit also. We are inch by inch, we are making very minimal progress in spiritual life. So from Diti, this is another thing we are learning from Diti. How somehow or other, if we have committed a mistake, we should repent. We should be remorseful, and we should know the art of, you know, taking shelter of superiors, begging their forgiveness, seeking their mercy, merciful instructions, willingness to obey those instructions, and not keep repeating the mistake over and over again. Because if you repeat the mistake, it will be like the wolf story. Wolf, wolf. If you keep repeating the mistakes over and over again, then the seeking forgiveness has no meaning at all. So that is one thing we learned from Diti. She committed a mistake, but she is not lamenting, and she doesn't say that I committed a mistake, now there is no hope for me in my life, let me commit suicide or something. She is not like that. So when we commit mistake, we don't lament, but we regret. We regret and we repent, and then we wake up and we become more alert. We learn some new lessons in our life, and then we walk with more caution. We don't allow ourselves to be dragged by Maya again. So, and we preserve our enthusiasm. We don't allow our enthusiasm to deter. And in this way, one who goes, he has a bright future. Such a devotee. Srila Prabhupada ki, Grantharaj Srimad Bhagavatam ki. Thank you very much.